I was in California the night, returning from California the night that the elementary choir sang. I listened to it on the internet. Man, they did a great job singing "I'm Glad I Know Who Jesus Is." So I just wanted to commend the elementary school, put a little pressure on these folks up here. Amen. Y'all sing it tonight. That'll be interesting. Singing. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Brother Hall. That's wonderful. Good singing tonight. You know you're getting old when you look up there and the seniors were born since you came to pastor the church. Help us. Amen. All right. That was good music, though. Good, well done. Nice blend, good harmony and singing out. And not afraid to sing, which is a good thing. Amen. I told them today, and I mean this, I'll tell you what I said. Now, usually when I say stuff like this from the pulpit, the devil likes to go crazy with some teenagers. So I hope you'd walk circumspectly, young people. But I told them, I've been a lot of places, a lot of churches. I think you folks know that. And I haven't seen a youth group that I would choose over the young people of this church right here. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm talking about the ones we got right now in this youth group. I love them and thank God for them. And they're a blessing. They're not perfect, but then neither are their parents. Amen. In fact, sometimes they're a little easier to deal with than their parents. Amen. I can't get any amens on that because that's, I'll amen myself. Amen. Matthew 16 tonight in your Bible. We're going to go away from our survey for a little bit tonight. And let me talk to you just a moment here about something. I'm so excited about the Gold Rush days, and I'm excited about October the 18th, our big day, which Brother Kevin Walker coming with his Wild West Carnival. And not just for the carnival's sake, but for the excitement that a day like that brings to a church and the opportunities in front of us. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the prayer authority of a local church. The prayer authority of a local church. So we're in Matthew 16, and we're going to read some verses that are very familiar to you. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now what Jesus was referring to in verse 17 is the conversation that took place in verses 13 through 16. So when he says in verse number 17, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, he is speaking specifically about what Peter said in verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 18, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So I want to talk to you tonight about the prayer authority of a local New Testament church. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Lord, thank you for the good music tonight. Thank you, dear God, for what we've already enjoyed together as a church family. And now we ask in Jesus' name that you'll please speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us that great desire that we talked about on Sunday night. Give us great desire for your word. Here's an opportunity to learn something, to benefit, to be helped. And so may we hunger and thirst after the truth that's in these verses. And we'll thank you for it. Give us your help tonight. In Jesus' name and amen. Peter had just finished making a bold confession as to the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? And some of them said, well, the disciples said, well, some of the guys say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Others say that you're Isaiah or Elijah and so forth and so on. Then Jesus said, but whom do ye say that I am? I don't think he was speaking specifically to Simon Peter. I think he was talking to the group of men. And I think Simon was the spokesman for the group. And he spoke up and he said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what he was saying there was, we believe you're the Messiah. We believe that you are God in flesh. We believe that you are the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about a Messiah, God who would come to earth. We believe that's who you are. So that's a bold confession as to the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus commended Peter's insight, but he didn't credit it to Peter. He credited the insight to a heavenly revelation. He said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter didn't come up with that answer himself. God had revealed it to him. So if you really think about it and take it back to its root, what Jesus was commending Peter for was being in fellowship with God, being to the place where God could speak to his heart and show him things, and he accepted them by faith. And I think that's what, you know, you and I, again, going back to that great desire we preached about on Sunday night, that we would understand all that we can understand out of this book right here, that God would give us a great desire for the Bible, okay, more to be desired than gold, if you will, okay? Now, that's what's taking place in verse 17. In the next verse, verse 18, we have the bold declaration. So you got a bold confession in verse 16. And you got a bold revelation in verse 17, where it came from. Then you got a bold declaration by Jesus Christ in verse number 18 about His church. He said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we got a bold declaration here about Jesus Christ concerning His church. Jesus will build His church. Now, folks, we talk about pastors talking the lingo of my church, your church, our church. We talk about our church, but we always need to remember in our heart of hearts that this doesn't belong to me. This doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to anybody, any organization, any denomination, or any hierarchy of people. This, what we have right here, belongs to Jesus Christ. And the buildings, in a sense, yes, they are His. But I'm talking about, technically, what I'm talking about tonight is the assembly of born-again baptized believers that meets here in this corner. We belong to Him. We are His church. All right? Now, Jesus will build His church. That is true today. Jesus is building His church. The America and the world may be in an economic downturn. We may be in need of stimulus money, although that's to be disputed. But one thing for sure, friend, Jesus is not in an economic downturn. And He is in no need of a stimulus. And Jesus is doing what He has always done, and that is He is building His church. Now, sometimes you and I aren't privy to it. I think reports are that probably the most dynamic group of independent churches being built right now are being built in the country of China underground. Underground. And they say it's amazing. The spirit of the congregations is amazing. And the threat of persecution hangs over their heads. But it's amazing what's going on in some of those places. Rest assured, Jesus is doing as He has always done. He is building His church. Okay, and when He says here in verse number 18, I will build my church, the sense of the word build is like you'd build a house. A little bit at a time. You don't throw a house up in one night. You throw a house up a little bit at a time. And there is a critical path to a house. There's the excavation, and then there's the foundation, and then there's the framing, and then on and on it goes, and it has a critical path. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's building His church a little bit at a time. Now, you go to verse number 19. Here's another good verse. And He says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here He makes a special promise to the church. Now, I'm not going to fuss and argue and break fellowship with people over this, but I believe that the church got its foundation, its beginning in the days of Jesus Christ. A scripture that we're going to go to next talks about taking matters to the church. Why would Jesus instruct us to take matters to a church, to instruct them to take matters to a church if there were no church to take matters to? Okay, some people believe it got its start on the day of Pentecost. I believe it got its foundation and beginning in the days of Jesus. I believe it was empowered on the day of Pentecost. That's nothing to break fellowship with, okay, with somebody. But I want you to notice here that Jesus makes a special promise to the church. Now, we're going to find out more about that in a second, okay, what this is all about. Now, chapter 18, book of Matthew, chapter 18. Here is this, chapter 16 is the first time that the word church is used in the New Testament. Chapter 18 is the next time that the word church is used in the New Testament. Chapter 18 and verse 18. Jesus says again, verily I say unto you, almost identical, almost word for word what He said in chapter 16. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, in this text, Jesus gives this promise after He had given special instructions as to how to handle a conflict between two brothers in the same church where one has sinned or trespassed against the other. So you got two men here, and one man does the other man wrong, sins against him, trespasses against him. And the instructions are you go to the brother and you see if you can work it out. He won't hear you. Then you get two or three men and you take them with you and you go and let them arbitrate and see who's right and who's wrong. And then if the two or three men agree with you that he's done you wrong and you need to apologize, you know, he needs to apologize to you, but he won't do it, then you take it to the church. And that's what he's talking about in verses 15, 16, and 17. And then he says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what Jesus is doing here is giving the local New Testament church tremendous authority. Tremendous authority. Because he basically says, in the context here, whatever the church decides to do with that sinning, trespassing, offending brother, whatever the church decides to do will be legitimized in heaven. It'll be seen as legitimate in heaven. If the church decides to keep the sinning brother in the church and try to pray him through some things and work through some things, then up in heaven, God says, that's great, church. If that's what you want to do, that's great. If the church decides we need to cut him loose, he's a cancer in the fellowship, and we need to cut him loose, then that's what we do. That's what the church decides. And I'm not, some of you are getting scared looks on your face. I'm not talking about that tonight, okay? But that's the context. I can't talk about the scripture if I can't deal with the context. Okay? I got to do that because I'm a homiletics teacher, and you know, that's what I tell them they can't do, so you know, some of these guys had homiletics with me, so I got to at least once in a while try to practice what I teach up there. All right. So now, what he is saying here, he's talking about prayer potential, and he is telling the church that it has the power, the authority, to ask for things to take place on earth, and that in heaven those requests will be granted. He's saying, look at verse number. Look what he said in verse number 19. He says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So in verse number 19, he sheds more light on this special promise that he's made twice. Whatever's bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. Verse 19, he sheds some light on it. He's talking about prayer potential. He's telling the church it has the power to ask for things to take place on earth, and that in heaven those requests will be granted. He says if two members with sanctified and unified hearts, united hearts, agree to ask for something to happen on earth, it will be answered in heaven. You say, now, Brother Angel, Pastor, I have done that. I have prayed with my wife or prayed with my husband, or I've prayed with our children. I've prayed with a friend for something to happen, and it hasn't happened. All right, friend, understand this. The problem is not with the promise. The problem is always with us. Maybe there's a lack of faith. Maybe there's an unconfessed hidden sin that God has talked to us about, we haven't repented of. Maybe we've not been sincere enough before the Lord as far as the rightness of our hearts. But you'd never judge the Bible by your experience. You always judge your experience by the Bible. As painful as that may be sometimes. Y'all listening to me tonight? As painful as that. You see, if we're not careful, we'll be like the charismatics. And we disdain the charismatic doctrine that, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, I know what I felt. By the way, I've been told that. Well, I don't understand what that says, but I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. What they're saying is, it doesn't matter what that says, my experience has more authority than what that says. Not true, not even close. Don't ever go there. This always has more authority than what we experience or feel, even when it hurts. So if I've got a situation where I'm praying with somebody for something to happen and it's not happening, something's wrong with me or one of the people I'm praying with, or there's something that's not right in the situation. It's not the Bible that stands to be corrected. It's me and you that stand to be corrected. Okay? As painful as that is to accept it. So this is what Jesus is saying here. What he said, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, okay, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now look at verse number 20. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he's given the local church. By the way, if you ever need any ammunition to fight these universal, invisible church boys, look at verse number 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Well, if the church is invisible and universal, how are you going to do that? Look, outside of only two or three times in the New Testament when the word church is used, it's referring to a congregation. A local congregation. What do congregations do? What is the fundamental element of a congregation? It what? It congregates. Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes they use the word assembly. What is the fundamental root thing of an assembly? It does what? It assembles. Now, if the church is universal and invisible, how do you congregate? I understand that when Jesus comes in the rapture, then all saved people around the globe are going to be taken up. And at that point, we will be the church of the firstborn, the general assembly at His feet. But right now, friend, the great percentage of time that the word church is used in the New Testament, it's referring to a local, visible congregation. All right? Anyway, that's free. All right? So we'll just take that with us tonight. Now, verse number 20. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The whole church has been given this wonderful prayer promise. And if two of you will just ask together, and I mean share your hearts and be sanctified and united and be right with God. And that word sanctified is important, folks. I mean, be right. then boy, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, the whole church does not have to be assembled for the promise to work. I doubt there's ever a Sunday when all the members of Faith Baptist Church have congregated here. I don't think that's true about any church. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So if the promises are only good when the whole church congregates, then we're in trouble. The whole church does not have to congregate or assemble for this promise to be in effect. If two or three members of a local visible church are gathered together for the purpose of prayer, the promise is in effect. Folks, this is not a promise that allows two or three people, two or three members to meet for, you know, for prayer or to meet for church whenever and wherever they please. Some people believe that. We can go to the woods. If that was true, we'd have deer church. Deer Camp Church, amen? That's right. This is not freedom for two or three members to go off somewhere and just assemble and say, okay, we're having church. You might have a service, but you're not having church. Okay? This is a promise that when two or three members meet for prayer, they have tremendous prayer potential. If their hearts are sanctified and if their hearts are united, when two or three members meet together for the purpose of prayer, to ask for things on earth to happen, it has tremendous prayer potential. In fact, Jesus said He would be there in the midst of them. That's not talking about an assembly, a church worship service. Now, He does come here when we assemble as a church to worship Him. But particularly here, this is talking about a prayer meeting. It's talking about two or three members of a church getting together for prayer. And if two of you will ask, and any time two or three of you get together, where there's two or three members of that local visible church gathered together, I'm in the midst of that prayer meeting. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer promise. Okay? So He says there's a lot of authority and a lot of power in the prayer of sanctified, unified church members. Now, let's go back to chapter 16 and see how this applies to what we read over there, because it's the same promise. Verse number 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 16, verse 19. The prayer potential here concerns keys. What do members of a church need keys for? Well, the Bible says in verse 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The keys are needed in order to open the gates of hell. When you read the book of Revelation, chapter 9 and chapter 20, it talks about the key to the bottomless pit. The key to the bottomless pit. Gates keep people out, and gates also keep people in. And the gates that the Bible is talking about here, the gates of hell, are designed to keep lost people imprisoned in sin and in their lost condition. Lost people. Imprisoned in sin in a lost condition. But Jesus teaches that the church has the potential power to storm the gates and with the keys, open them and set some captives free. Now, this is a soul-winning promise, but it is a prayer promise before it is a soul-winning promise. Now, you've got to follow through with the soul-winning. But it is a prayer promise. A promise is a prayer promise that through prayer, I'm talking about the prayer of two or three members, sanctified, unified hearts, people go in the same direction, burdened for the same thing, that people on earth, when two or three people in a local New Testament visible, the local congregation, when they meet for the purpose of prayer, for specific matters, they can loose things on earth. They can bind things on earth. They can affect people on earth for eternity. And I'm convinced, friend, I'm convinced that that's how churches in years gone by who impacted their communities did so. They didn't impact their communities through carnivals. And we're having one, and that's okay. Brother Kevin does a great job. They didn't impact their communities through those. They impacted their communities through through prayer. Through sanctified, unified hearts in a local congregation, getting together and asking God specifically, Lord, save sinners. Save people in this community. Set people free from the bondage of sin and hell. You storm the gates of hell with the keys. I give unto you the keys. The keys of the kingdom. You storm the gates through prayer. Now, I'm excited about the opportunity that's coming up here on the October the 18th. And I have a prayer list that I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out and give you that I made up today that I want everybody in the church to have to pray over the next several fellows. Y'all have those prayer lists? Okay, let's get those out real quick, if you would, please. I want you to just hang on. And then we're going to get the missionary things out here, too, in just a minute. But I want to pass out this prayer list tonight. I want to go through it with you real quick. And then we're going to start praying tonight. We're going to meet for prayer here and divide up and pray tonight specifically for these matters. Unbelievable prayer potential for a local New Testament church. There should be, I think there's a couple hundred, so there should be enough for all the kids to have one and are reading age too. Would you stick this in your Bible that you read for devotions? Would you stick it if you have a prayer list? Would you stick it there? Would you put it on your refrigerator or set it in the napkin holder on your table at home so that it's easily accessible for the next 19 days, the next 18 days, 17 days? That's all the time we have left to really pray about this matter. Okay? You need more upstairs, Brother Govins? Okay, thank you. All right. Everybody got one? I want you to look at it, okay? Here's the prayer prompter for October 18, 2009. You got your two verses there, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Then it says this, when you have the opportunity to pray with one or more members of our church, please ask God for the following concerning our big day. Let me say this. We're going to take that opportunity on Wednesday night. I haven't decided completely yet, but we might take that opportunity on Sunday nights while we're at church here, the next couple of Sunday nights, to do this during the service. And let me encourage you, we don't have to have church. We don't have to be in church for two or three members to gather together. That's what he's saying in chapter 18. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Gathered together for what? Specific prayer. What? To ask God to loose things. To ask Him to bind things. Boy, you could ask God to bind Satan. That's a legitimate prayer request, folks. Do you know that? To bind the strong man. You don't bind the bound. If the strong man is not bound, then you can't spoil his goods. So the strong man has to be bound. You can ask God to bind the strong man. You can ask God to loose some captives. Okay? We don't have to be in church to have these prayer meetings. Two or three of you might get back from ladies' visitation and take 6, 7, 8 minutes just to come in here at the auditorium or sit in a pew and just pray together. During the day, husband and wife around the table at night, just pray together. Okay? I'm serious as a heart attack. Just wherever. Wherever. Just wherever. Wherever you are. And get two or three. He said where two or three are gathered. And the other verse said if only two agree. So you don't have to have three. So pray anyway. Here's what you can pray for. Pray for these things concerning our big day. Pray for the power of God. That makes all the difference in everything. Right there. The power of God. Pray for many visitors. Pray for many saved. Pray for many baptized. Pray for 1,200 in attendance. We say, why in the world would you put a number in there like that? Because a number represents a person. Now nobody, unless y'all told people, unless somebody else wrote it in a book somewhere, we had our biggest day was 1,185 3 years ago. And we never turned it into anybody because that's not the fundamental matter. But I'm not against a number either. Okay? So we're praying for 1,200. We want to break our record. We want to break our record on that day because, and by the way, we can't take it for granted. We're sitting in a good condition to do it. Okay? We're sitting in a good position to do it. It's not going to come without work. It's not going to come without prayer. It's not going to come without effort. But the Spanish is better off than they were 3 years ago, and our buses are as stable, and our drive-in and our English crowd is as stable as it was, and we have the potential to set a new attendance record. We really do. If we work and get after it, if God helps us, okay? It's, the potential is there, all right? I don't talk about this often, but we had 945 here on the property Sunday. That's a great day. We had a simple bus promotion and a simple fall program. That's a great day for us, okay? So we want to ask God for 1,200 in attendance. For safety, we don't want to take that for granted. For weather that would be conducive for a big day, okay? And that may not be 75 degrees and sunshine. People may go somewhere else. Might be 65 degrees and a little cool, a little cloudy. They come to church. For Brother Kevin Walker and his family, as they come to be with us, and God will bless Brother Walker. I would love to let him preach, but that is the last Sunday before I am gone with my wife and my father-in-law to Madagascar. And so that's the day before we leave. And I'm not going to give up those services. Brother Kevin will preach to our teenagers. We're working hard to organize this thing. The teenage boys off the bus routes will be in one service, and the teenage girls off the routes will be in another service. Brother Kevin will preach to the teenage boys off the bus routes. And Loretta Walker will speak to the teenage girls off the bus routes. And the emphasis that day will be salvation. KW will preach in junior church that day. Brother Walker's son. He's a good man, good young preacher. So, but I want to be here on Sunday morning, and I don't want to give up my last service for 2 weeks with you folks here. So Brother Walker knows that. But we want to pray for Brother Walker and his family as they come be with us. Pray for the Wild West Carnival to go smoothly. And pray for the day to bring God honor and glory. Okay, that's it. Now look, folks, I think those are legitimate, decent prayer requests. I don't think there's anything carnal about that. Okay? And I think if we take those spiritual matters right there, you say, well, God's not interested in numbers. Well, I would politely differ with you, because there are several places in the New Testament where He gave specific numbers. Okay, specific numbers. So we're praying for 1,200 in attendance. Praying for that. I think that's spiritual. I think that's legitimate. I think all those things are legitimate prayer requests for that day. And if two or three of us get together with sanctified hearts and unified hearts and pray and ask God to bind the strong man and to loose captives and give us these 10 requests, dear Lord, that will help see people saved on that day and bind Satan, then I have to believe that the Bible's true, that it'll be bound in heaven and loosed in heaven. And that's what we need. We need heaven's help on that day. Okay? Now, before we pass out the missionary prayer lists, there are other ways to be involved on this big day. I'm encouraging and asking everybody. Everybody can do something, okay? So I'm encouraging and asking you, the week of the big day, that would be from Monday, the 12th of October, through the Sunday, the 18th, all right? There will be daily blitzes to different towns. There will be a blitz on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday, and one on Friday. Now, we're going to have sign up for all this on Sunday night. Two tables, it'll all be ready for you on Sunday. I want to tell you about it tonight. Daily blitzes, if you're free any afternoon, will you be willing to make the time to go? Those daily blitzes on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, this is something we've never done before. We would like to have a massive Saturday morning visitation effort. When we say massive, we're talking 120 people. 120 people at one time, going out together for 2.5 hours from 10 a.m. to 12:30. 120 of us. Now, John Rice used to preach, you send 100 people on the streets, you can put 1,000 people in the pew. Brother Joe, wait just a minute while I'm finishing this up. This is important. So you send 120 out, and hopefully we can have 1,200 in the pew on Sunday. Okay? So we'd like to have 120. Now, Brother Abraham thinks that they can have 40 in the Spanish. They've been running between 30 and 35 every Saturday morning going out in the Spanish department. There are some precious folks up there. Some precious. These girls down here, Patty and Jessica, did she stay? Did she stay in the service? Jessica, are you in here? She's back here. These girls are precious. They're in our school. And their brother Romero, he's a great kid, man, I tell you. And then little Luis Rodriguez is in kindergarten now, along with his brother Alberto. It's a blessing. There are some wonderful, and those of us that are here on Saturday mornings, we see them. There's 30 to 35 Spanish going out every Saturday. So he thinks he can have 40. That leaves the English church to come up with 80 people. Okay, we'd like 120 for those 2 hours, 2.5 hours from 10 to 12:30. We're going to have childcare for underage, like fourth grade and under, and then we're going to have some refreshments as we start today at 9 o'clock. Meeting here at 9:30. Brother Caleb will organize and challenge us, and we'll see. We'll get out. If everybody can do, we want as many as folks as, I mean, we'd love to have 120 people out on that morning, Saturday, 10 to 12:30. We still need people to help set up the carnival on Saturday afternoon. At what time, Brother Caleb? We need some men. So men, any of you men that, I know I'm asking for extended hours here. By the time you visit, by the time you set up, I understand what I'm asking for, but we don't ask for this every week. We don't ask for this every month. This is a special time. Okay, so we need some men to help set up. Right now, there's 3 ladies signed up to help set up the carnival. I imagine Brother Walker would appreciate it a little bit more than that. Nothing against you ladies, but I can't see you with that mechanical bull, all right? So maybe we can, I don't know. We need people to run the carnival. It's going to take, Brother Caleb, what did you tell me? How many people to run the carnival? Plus, 35 only runs the carnival. There's hot dogs, there's popcorn, there's cotton candy. So there's a lot more than 35 needed to run the carnival. There's takedown of the carnival. We're trying to secure 2 extra buses for that Sunday, which means we need helpers and workers on the bus. There's tons of ways to be involved. There's ways to get in and make it happen. All we do is just put some feet to our prayers. God makes it happen. Okay? And so that's we're trying to give you enough notice. We're 18 days out tonight. Plan. But more than that, plan to participate. But more than that, let's pray. Let's pray diligently in the next 17 days. It'd be wonderful to see a lot of folks loosed from the prison of sin and hell on that Sunday. Okay? It'd be a wonderful thing. All right? Now look, folks, this is the thing that churches used to do back in the 70s that resulted in a bunch of us, maybe some of you, getting saved. Bunch of guys pastoring today. Bunch of missionaries were saved in the era when churches were doing this kind of thing, trying to make an impact. And so let's do something. Let's just do something, hopefully, to make an impact on individual lives in the community. And we can do that. We've got the authority to do that and the power to do that through sanctified, united prayer meetings. 2 or 3 or more of us together. We're going to start tonight. Now, ushers, if you would, let's get you've got this prayer list, and then let's get the missionary letters. We got a ton of missionary letters tonight, so if you'd be willing to take a missionary letter. Now, look, it's 8:04, and I did this on purpose so that we would have a little bit more time. I'm going to ask you not to rush through the prayer time tonight. I'm going to ask you to pray specifically and sincerely about these things, and let's take some time to ask God for these things tonight, okay? So if you would, please, I'd like to have a missionary letter up here from one of you fellows, Brother Marty. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Sometimes you'll have a missionary prayer letter that will have 2 pages or 3 pages. If they send us pictures, we try to always include those so you can see what's happening in their ministry. And it's going to take a lot of us taking a letter tonight because there's a bunch of them, okay? Let me say this about this carnival. This carnival is not a second-class operation. I really think this carnival is, and understand my heart when I'm saying this, I really believe this thing is something that you could invite your middle-class friends and neighbors to participate in. And it's going to be fun. Okay, it's a legitimate thing, folks. It's a humongous bounce house, a humongous obstacle course, and all the other things that go along with it. It's legitimate, and Brother Walker does a great job. So I want you to invite your friends. Okay, try to invite, young adults with young children, whose kids would enjoy it, who don't go to church anywhere. Now, you know what? I'm happy for your saved relatives to visit us, but that's not what this is about. This is not about trying to get a crowd of saved people to leave their church for one Sunday. You know what they want you to do? Leave your church and come to their thing. So, in fact, they want you to do that sometimes. They want you to come to Lutheran church with them or something. But this is something that's legitimate for couples that don't go anywhere. And buddy, if you get their kids, now we're going to show, Sunday night, we'll show you a DVD of this thing. It's got a 3-minute DVD presentation. We'll show that to you. It's great. And some of you will remember it from two or three years ago.